beginning a, not really a series because I'm not going to teach on it every week, but we had discussed previously having you share your testimonies on Wednesday nights. And unfortunately, the young lady that shared, signed to give her testimony tonight is not here. And I had misread it and thought it was David McBride, but David signed to give it next week. And so that's wonderful. So we'll just pick up next week, and Tabitha will fit her in as the Lord allows her to be with us. But on Wednesday nights, we're going to be sharing our testimonies. And my goal with this is twofold. One, in reality, it's for us just to get to know each other better. As we share, and you know, there'll be things I think that will be shared that, you just didn't know. I just didn't know. We just didn't know. And as you hear how the Lord worked and wove and, the whole process of bringing us to Him, as we share that together, it'll be a blessing, I think, to everyone. Hi, Christina. Did Tabitha come with you? Okay, I was just checking. She had signed up to share a testimony tonight, but, we'll fit her in another time. So, with that in mind, we're going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 22, because, you know, you never know when you're going to be called on to speak up for the Lord. And this is a situation where an opportunity came to Paul that he wasn't expecting, but it was one that definitely he took advantage of. Paul had been worshiping in the temple, and he was falsely accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple with him, which was not a true accusation, but because people had seen him with a Gentile in the city, they assumed that he had brought him in, and a riot begins, and the captain of the Roman guard breaks up the riot by taking Paul a prisoner, binds him with chains, and as he's being drug off, Paul asks the captain for an opportunity to speak, hoping to calm the crowd, and the captain gave him opportunity to do so. And he shared his testimony of how he got to be where he was. I want to tell you that, like Paul, the best thing we have in life is our testimony. That is the most powerful expression of our faith. People can debate doctrine, but they cannot debate your testimony. Because it's yours. It happened to you. They may can debate with you philosophy. They may try to debate doctrine. They may try to debate theology. But when you begin to share what Jesus did for you, it has an impact. Just think about advertising, for example. We all are affected by advertising in one way or another, whether it's through the television or radio or internet, magazines, newspaper, whatever it is, billboards on the road. We all see it. But, you know, the most common forms of advertising that we have seen, if you think about it, generally they don't get a PhD to explain to you the molecular structure of the toothpaste. No. They don't get a physicist to explain the chemical reaction in the cleaning compound within the detergent. Do they? Usually it's a housewife or a child or a dad or somebody saying, "This works for me." And so because it's somebody we can relate to, we respond and we all go out and we buy it and make somebody happy because they get to put a lot of money in their account. But why does that work? Because we can relate, because it's a personal testimony of sorts. And I'm not trying to degrade our testimony to that level, but what I am trying to say is that the Lord uses that combination of humanness in us to share our faith. Now, the story of Paul's conversion is actually very important. It's important enough to be included five times in the New Testament. Three times it's recorded in the book of Acts, one in chapter 9 where it actually happens in the historical narrative. Then here in chapter 22 as he gives his defense before the Jews, and then later in chapter 26 he gives his testimony again when he is before the Roman Gentile governors Festus and Felix. Festus was not just a guy on Gunsmoke. He was actually a Roman Gentile guy a long time ago. So there's those three accounts in the book of Luke. And then you have in Galatians chapter number 1 and again, in Philippians chapter 3 and then in 1 Timothy 1, you have Paul referencing his conversion experience. And so, obviously, he saw it as being very important. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing our testimonies with each other, and partly with the goal of getting to know each other, but also partly with the goal of helping us to be able to share it with others. And I hope that you will take that challenge. And before the night's over, I hope you'll sign on one of these blank spaces on when you would be willing to share your testimony of what God is doing for you. But what we're going to do tonight is look at what we can learn from Paul's testimony in Acts 22 about how to share an effective testimony. I'm going to give you 5 points, I think, that or 5 observations I make about Paul's testimony. And then we'll just work through beginning in verse number 1. So I'm calling this the value of your testimony. And let's work through Acts 22 together, the first 15 verses. But before we do so, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you again for ministering to our hearts. Thank you for loving us as we've sung this evening already. We're walking through times that we need to know your love. We especially pray for Mike and Martha, Lord, that you'll give your peace and that you'll comfort their hearts. Lord, let Martha continue to hear your voice and your comforting peace, and everything that is in her life be filled with the peace that can't be explained, it can't even be understood. It's beyond our comprehension, but it's your peace. And speak to our hearts. Encourage us, Father, to share our testimony of faith in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to look at in Acts chapter number 22 is that Paul established common ground with his listeners. In Acts chapter 22, verse number 1 and 2, it says, as Paul began to speak, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in their Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, and he goes into it. I'm not going to read the rest of it yet. But my point is that you notice that one of the things that Paul does is he establishes a common ground. He does it by calling them brethren. He does it by calling them fathers. And he does it by speaking the dialogue or the language, the literal language that they spoke. Even though the Greek was the lingua franca of the day, the common language of the day, he went to their heart language, so to speak. And by doing so, established a certain common ground. And he begins to tell them, and this is how I think our testimonies often can be so powerful, is when you begin to tell somebody, "I know exactly what you're talking about, because I was just like that. Let me tell you, this is what I felt. I maybe can't understand exactly what you're going through, but this is where I was at." And Paul tells them that he was once just like them. He addresses them as brothers. He speaks to them in a familiar way. He speaks to them in their heart language. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the best keys to sharing your faith. If you can not be pretentious, not be fictitious, but simply say, in establishing that ground, let me tell you, this is where I was. I know how you're feeling. This is a time I went through an experience like this. I felt that. Now, you know, we can't always say that we've experienced everything that everyone else has experienced. There's no way that we can, and it would be wrong to do so. But I think it's good to look for those areas of common ground when we begin to share our faith with others. And that's the first thing that I see. Then the second thing is that Paul did not glorify his past life of sin. Read with me a little bit further. Verses 3 through 5, he says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons." Now, he stated the facts. He said what he did, but you know what? He didn't go into every gruesome detail of every single person that he bound. He didn't tell them about every mother that he ripped away from the father or every child he pulled out of the home. He didn't have to give them all the specific details of the gruesomeness of his life. He simply shared the facts. You know, occasionally you'll hear a testimony, and I want to encourage you not to do this. You'll hear a testimony and someone will spend 90% of their time talking about how evil and how sordid and how horrific. And then and they'll wrap it up and say, "And then I got saved and it's been good ever since." It's like, what? Hold on now. Who are we glorifying here? We want to make sure that we are testifying to the glory of God and not testifying to the glory of our past life or the glory of what our past sinfulness. Even though Paul tells of his past, even though he recounts the facts, he doesn't embellish them. He doesn't give glory. And it's important that we don't have to give every gruesome detail. It is important to share truthfully. You know, there have been some folks who've gotten in trouble for embellishing their resume, so to speak, for embellishing their testimony. You don't have to do that. All you got, Jesus is good enough, and what he's done for you is good enough. You don't have to make it sound more gruesome or more horrible. So that first thing was that he established common ground. The second thing was he didn't glorify his past sin. Now, the next part, as he shares his faith, I don't find this necessarily in the scripture word for word, but this is something I want to throw in, that when he was sharing the gospel with them, he did not promise a life of ease to those who believe. He didn't say, this is how hard it was, and this is what was difficult, but Jesus saved my life, and now if you'll get saved, you'll find that your bed has like pillow smell, like a rose petal smell when you go to bed at night. When you walk, it's like you have air cushions in your shoes, and you know, and there's air conditioning that follows you everywhere you go, and you never sweat. Now, I know you're thinking, Nathan, that's kind of stupid, and it is, but sometimes in the past we've heard of people that just seem to be promising, if you'll just get saved, everything will, you know, 100% be better, and you'll never have any problems again. Now, if that was what you signed up for, you wouldn't be here tonight, because you know that's not true, is it? Has anybody ever, did you sign up for never having any troubles again? I know you didn't. But have you ever heard people kind of make those promises? It'll be a bed of roses. It'll be wonderful. He didn't do this. I want to give an example. And I need a microphone, Brother Bud, if you'll send a mic up. And I need a couple of volunteers. And I like Brother John, since you're getting the microphone. And Brother Ed, since you just walked in, nothing like picking on a guy, to come up here and with his other microphone. And I'm going to let them perform a skit for you that they've never read. All right, and here you go. Here's your microphone. Here's your lines. All right, here's your lines. Now here's the thing: since you've got a blue shirt on, mm-hmm. you read the stuff that's in blue.
Okay.
Don't say Paul because that's who you are.
All right.
Okay. And you don't have to say host because that's who you are. All right. All right. So you're going to go over there and you're going to walk up in just a second. And let me just tell you what this is. This is Sunday morning, and you're channel surfing. All right. Through the TV channels. And you really should be getting ready to church. But I'm picking. All right. Your attention is drawn to a popular Christian talk show. The host, immaculately dressed, hair perfect. That's what it says in the script. Is all smiles.
Today is a special...
Hello.
All right. Today is a special day for the Christian Health and Wealth Show. We're going to have a very special guest. He's done more for the cause of Christ than any other man. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome St. Paul the Apostle!
Yay! Woo!
It's a real thrill to have you on the show, Paul. Or should I call you Saint or Apostle? Which do you prefer?
Just Paul will be fine.
Very well, Paul. We're all eager to hear what you have to say. A great servant of the Lord might have to say. Tell us about the wonderful things that happened to you when you invited the Lord Jesus into your life.
Well, let's see. First, I was struck blind. I got over that, but then somebody tried to kill me. And I had to escape in a basket. Then they stoned me, threw me in jail, beat me with rods.
Paul, wait. I think you misunderstood. Tell us, what has the Lord done for you?
That's what I was doing. Then the Romans arrested me, and I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep.
Well, excuse us, folks. It's time for our first commercial break.
Ba-da-da-da-da. All right, give them all a big hand. That host wasn't quite sure what to do with that guest. You can take that one on back. I don't think our special host, thank you. Didn't they do a good job? I just, yeah. You talk about being instant in season and out. You never know next week who I'm going to call. But you know, if Paul had to testify that it was going to be a bed of roses, that'd be the wrong guy to get to share, because his testimony was not that things were easy, that life was smooth sailing. So that's one thing he did not do. Paul tells his listeners that being changed saved his life, but he does not tell them that all things were great. As we read his testimonies, you'll hear, as you read the five different places he shares, he doesn't promise that phrase that we say, a bed of roses. He did not say, I just want to tell you how the Lord blessed me materially. I mean, he doubled my tent making business, and I had to hire a bunch of new people because of my tent making business was expanding. He just shared the truth, and he didn't make false promises. And so when you're sharing your faith, you don't have to say, look, if you'll just accept Jesus, you'll never have a problem. Please don't say that. Because the truth is, when we accept Jesus, we know the enemy really begins to throw up roadblocks, and he really wants to cause those who have accepted the Lord to stumble or who profess faith in Jesus. So third thing is that Paul does not promise a life of ease to those who believe. And then the fourth thing is this. He does tell them that it is the power of Jesus that makes us different. This is probably the key crucial component of your testimony of how Jesus changed your life. Look, I understand that not every conversion experience is as dramatic as Paul's. How many of you were struck down with light, you fell off your horse, and you heard a voice from heaven? Just checking. No, so we don't all have a dramatic Cecil B. DeMille type of conversion experience, but every testimony is a before and after account of the transformation of a human being by Jesus Christ. That's what a testimony is. It's a before and after. We like those before and after. I've always noticed, though, on those hair club commercials that the guys' heads are always at different angles on the before and the after. Did y'all ever notice that? It's like before they're like, you know, full-on baldness, and after he's like, you know, you can't even see where that was. No, but that's neither here nor there. I guess I pay attention to those commercials. But here's the point. Paul described the man that he was before Christ. He described the man that he was after Christ. And the change that had happened, the power that had transformed his life, and who God had enabled him to be. He was not saying how good he was. He was not saying all the good things he had done. He was saying how good God is and all the good things God has done. So let's continue reading. We're in chapter 22. And we've just read about the things that he said that he was. And look, so we picked it up in verse number 6. He says, but it happened that I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime. A very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go on into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. And so as he shares this encounter, and he shares the direction, and he continues to share the story of how Jesus changed his life, he was careful to make sure we understood who it was that was talking to him. It was the Lord. It was Jesus. And the Lord definitely did change his life. You know, it is the power of Jesus that makes us different. It's not your pastor's incredible skits that he picks out. It's not the temperature of the building that we gather in that makes us different. It's not the quality of the singing or the excellence in programming. That it's none of those things. It is Jesus himself, his effectiveness, his effect on our life that changes us. I heard a story one time of a missionary in India, and this was recounted by Spiro Zodiates, who published a Bible later, a very powerful study Bible, Greek Hebrew key study Bible. But in one of the books that he published of some illustrations, he tells a story of a Christian missionary in the 1800s who was speaking to a group of Hindu women. And as he was speaking of them, the power that Jesus had to change their lives, a woman got up and left. A few minutes later, she came back and she sat down, one of the Hindu women, and this time she was listening even more attentively. At the end of his presentation, he asked her, he said, where did you go, and why is it that you were listening with more interest when you came back? And she said, I was listening to all the things you were saying. And then I went to your servant and asked him, does this man live the things that he speaks? And your servant said, yes. Then I really wanted to know what you had to say. You see, that man evidenced a changed life through the power of God. And you know, it's not going to be powerful for us to say, how much the Lord has changed us to the person we just got angry on the road because we pulled out in front of them. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I don't have honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker on my vehicle. Because I couldn't tell the difference between they're honking if they love Jesus or they're honking because of my driving. Maybe that's why people do it. The point is simply this. It is the power of Jesus that makes us different. When we share our testimony, point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. This is what Jesus did for me. This is how he changed my life. This is, you know, and some of our testimonies are dramatic. Some of them are not as demonstrative, but they all point to the life change that Jesus does in us. The fifth thing is this, is that Paul presented his conversion as a fact, not a feeling. I want to finish reading the part that I've selected for tonight, verse number 11. It says, but since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him. And he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. So Paul presents his conversion experience as a fact. This is not just some little feeling. He points to a specific. Now, I'm not saying we all can. I personally cannot tell you the date and the place and the location where I first gave my heart to the Lord. I know that as a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, I was on the altar asking the Lord to save me. I can have those memories, but I don't remember much before last week. I'm one of those guys that doesn't remember 8 years old. Is anybody else here like that? Or is it just because I'm old? Okay. I didn't know. You don't remember 8 years old either, do you? How old are you? Oh, you don't remember 8 years old? That was a long time ago, wasn't it? A whole year ago. Man, that was an eternity. Well, just wait till you're 42 and see if you can remember 8 years old. You know, it's interesting. He does include a personal account. He gives a guy, you know, he says, there's a guy named Ananias, a certain man named Ananias, almost as if to say, you can talk to this guy. He'll tell you. And some testimonies I've seen that I think have been impactful, people can say, talk to my friends. They'll tell you. They'll tell you the kind of person I was. Talk to my wife. Talk to my children. They'll tell you the difference that Jesus made in my life. Paul presented his conversion as fact, not as feeling. Point is that what we have is not just a feeling. What we have has produced a tangible, real change in our life. Our lives have changed. And if our life hasn't changed, then maybe we need to spend some time down here at this altar tonight and just to make sure. Has your life been changed by Jesus? If it has been, then let's share that. Let's look for opportunities to find common ground with other people. Let's don't glorify the past, but let's go ahead and identify and share honestly with it. Don't promise them an unproblematic future. Share the truth that the power of Jesus Christ will change their life. And share it as factually as you can. And this is how Paul did this. And as we read his story on each time, this is the power of his testimony. It's interesting to me that 5 times in Scripture, this one man's experience is told. We should be willing to tell our stories. In Luke chapter 8, there's a man who's healed by Jesus. And he wants to follow Jesus. But Jesus says to him, no. You go back to your city, you go back to your people, and you tell them all the great things God has done for you and how he had mercy on you. You go tell your story. Go tell your story. And he did that. Back in January, I shared on Sunday mornings a series called Why We Believe What We Believe. And I shared that because of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, that we need to be ready to give an answer to everyone asks us, why do you have hope? And so we need to live our lives in such a way that people see that we have hope, and then we need to be able to share that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing those testimonies. And next week, Brother David McBride is going to share, and then May 23rd, Sister Rita Zito is going to share, and then May 30th, Brother Tiny, somebody looked at this and said, who is Ford Zio? They didn't know who Foster was. Brother Tiny is going to share. And June 6th is open. So somebody sign up for June 6th and June 13th and June 20th. And let's begin sharing. And look, we're not trying to top anybody. We're not trying to outdo anybody. We're simply wanting to share, this is who I was. This is what Jesus did for me. And this is where I'm going and where he's taking me now. And part of your testimony, somebody might, you might say, well, Brother Nathan, does it have to be just the salvation testimony? No. I'd like you to include that because we all need to hear how we come to faith in Jesus. But if you want to share something significant, some significant moment in your life of how he significantly involved himself in your life, I look forward to hearing that too. We're going to be doing that on the next few Wednesday nights, as long as it takes. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power that you've given us, not in weaponry and machinery, but in the simple words of our faith in you. The value that you placed in our testimony as we share how you've transformed us, as we share the reality of who we were and the reality of who you made us to be. Thank you that that is a vehicle you're using to touch the lives of others. Help us to be bold enough. Empower us, Lord. Just as you did throughout the book of Acts, when you filled them with your spirit, they were able to speak your word with boldness. Help us, Lord, to speak your word of what you've done in our lives with boldness, to be confident about how you've transformed us. And as we share that simple truth with others, may it truly bring great fruit and great harvest. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.